You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Good to have you with us on Monday's edition of the podcast. We'll be looking ahead to a couple of races at Pontefract on this edition. Also got racing from Windsor and Plumpton's come on Monday afternoon. There's an evening card at Kempton. You can join Luke Elder in the company of Sam Turner and Andy Gibson throughout the course of the day on Racing Radio. Sam Norris here, joined by Sean Quinn on today's edition of the podcast. How are you, Sean?
I'm very well. Thank you, Sam. How are you doing?
Good, yeah. Not too bad at all. Good to have your company on a Sunday. It'll be a rare Sunday for yourself in here.
Yeah, I don't tend to do loads of Sundays. I've done the odd one on the TV station, but nice to be in and nice to be able to reflect on what was a very good Saturday.
Yeah, it was a superb day of racing at Ascot to, I'd say, bring the curtain down on the flat season. Now, there's a little bit more flat turf racing to go, but we still got to see plenty of the stars of the season, and we'll reflect on one or two of the top performances, starting with the first race today. Stradivarius taking the long distance cup, first Ascot Gold Cup winner in 50 years, Sean, to finish the season unbeaten, and that's some training feat. Horses running over these extreme distances at the top level, to keep them sound and to keep them going to the well time and time again. Obviously scooped the £1 million bonus and has brought the curtain down on his season in fine style. Still only a four-year-old, this horse, as well, Sean.
Yeah, as you say, a very good training performance. He started off in May and he's finished his season in October. All five starts have come in Group 1 or 2 company. And he looked nearly as good as ever at Ascot when beating Thomas Hobson. He's clearly a very, very talented stayer, Stradivarius. And what I like about him is when he was challenged in the Gold Cup by Vaziribad and in the Goodwood Cup by Torcedor, he really pulled out more. So whilst the staying division is weak this season, there's probably no real standout horse to put it to him. On occasions when he has been made to fight, he's shown that he's got that in his armoury too. So he's far from a flat track bully or anything like that. He's a very, very good stayer, high class, and has a great attitude to go with it.
Yeah, as you say, would be great to have a big orange on Order of St. George at the peak of their form to try and challenge him. I thought it was a great ride as well by Frankie Dettori. Aidan O'Brien was triple-handed in the race. There was clearly a tactical plan there. As soon as the gap opened for Frankie Dettori off the turn, as soon as Ryan Moore gave him an inch, he took it. Yeah. You've got to have the horse to do it, of course, but I thought it was a good ride from Frankie Dettori.
Yeah, indeed, and as you say, you've got to have the horse underneath you able to do it, and Stradivarius showed a very, very smart turn of foot to get through that gap. He's got to the front, and I don't think he's idle, but he just kept galloping, hasn't he? Doing enough. Thomas Hobson briefly looked like he might come to throw down a challenge. He would have finished closer, but for getting snatched up. That was good race riding from Frankie Dettori. He probably felt the horse behind him just gathering momentum and just allowed Stradivarius to roll back on top of him.
Yeah.
Exactly, as you say, close the door. I don't think there was anything sinister in it, but it was quality race riding. And Oisin Murphy, who was on board Thomas Hobson, you could argue would have done exactly the same. So that was just the way it was. And Frankie's track craft came to the fore there, you could argue.
From the stayers to the sprinters then, the second race of the day, of course, the champion sprint. This one went the way of an outsider, Sands of Marley, taking this race at 28-1 for Richard Fahey and Paul Hannigan. Good to see a Northern Yard taking one of the big Group 1 races of the day, Sean. Although I thought for a sprint, there weren't too many that really got involved from the back.
No, there weren't. You're absolutely
right. You had
to
be on the front end.
Yep, you're absolutely right. The winner, Sands of Marley, has made all the running. Harry Angel was very handy throughout. But as you say, good for Sands of Marley, who was so narrowly denied in the Commonwealth Cup, that Group 1 race at the Royal meeting earlier this season. His form had tapered off a little bit subsequently, but he's shown signs of a revival when fifth behind the Tin Man in that bottomless ground sprint cup at Haydock. And he undoubtedly posted a career-best performance here to win this by a length from Harry Angel. Clearly, he's a horse who is quite versatile. He's got wins on all kinds of ground. I think he's really, really good on softer ground. He's only a three-year-old. He's very, very exciting. Richard Fahey said at the start of the year, he's the best horse in his yard. His faith in Sands of Marley was franked yesterday afternoon.
And good to see Harry Angel taking a step back in the right sort of direction, Sean. Still hasn't won a race at Ascot, but that was much more like it yesterday. He's obviously had the problems in the stalls in particular two starts ago when he obviously got his leg caught on one of the boards there. But it was good to see him run something like his best again.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. And Adam Kirby reported post-race that he felt he'd have won quite nicely had the ground been fast. Of course, it would have been a completely different race had the ground been fast. So you could argue a lot of horses would have run better on better ground. But I know what he means. Harry Angel probably isn't as good a horse with it when the ground is soft underneath. But he's a really, really smart horse, Harry Angel. And it was good to see him back to something like his best. As you say, he's going to retire now, I believe. And he's going to make an exciting stallion. I wonder, I'm sure there'll be plenty of breeders keen to use him. He's a Group 1 winning son of Dark Angel, arguably one of Dark Angel's best sons, certainly to go to stud. And he's sure to be popular. He's got a nice dam line. Cado Genero is the sire of Harry Angel's mother, Beatrix Potter. You'd have to like that. It'll just be interesting to see, does he pass on that slightly fiery temperament onto his progeny? Breeders will be hoping that he does to some effect, because you want that bit of fieriness and that bit of fight.
Yeah.
But at times with this season and last, we've seen it boil over, and you'd hope that wouldn't be a trait that passed on.
Yes, it was one of a few horses to be making his last run on Saturday. We'll get, of course, to Roaring Lion and Cracksman in due course. I want to talk about the fillies and mares race, though. This one went the way of Magical. Plenty of the bosses here at William Hill, Sean, and layers up and down the land, breathing a real sigh of relief that Larty Dar managed to get beat and not bring up what would have been a very popular fourfold for John Gosden. She had every chance, wasn't good enough on the day. Magical was, and with Magical's victory, you talk about breeding there, it put Galileo ahead of his sire, Sadler's Wells, as the all-time record setter for most individual Group 1 winners. We already know him to be a super stallion, and that's now confirmed by the numbers.
Yes, indeed. And this filly has been a slow burner this season, Magical. But she's got better and better with each run. And she didn't run too badly in the arc, did she? She was only beaten five lengths by Enable in the arc. She's improved to beat Coronet here. She's going to be an exciting broodmare prospect for the Coolmore team, undoubtedly. She won comfortably, and you can't say there was any fluke about it. What you might say with regards to Larty Dar is that she was caught wide early on. She raced a little bit keenly, and that maybe just put paid to any chance she had in the race. And let's not forget, she'd had a very hard race at Doncaster when finishing second in the Ledger behind Kew Gardens. She was really made to go out and chase that horse and try and reel him in, which, of course, she was unable to do. She's come a long way in a short space of time as well. Don't forget, she only made her first start in April of this year. I'm not sure whether she remains in training. Do you know whether Larty Dar is retired or whether she will see her next year? But if we
see
her next year, it'll be exciting, and there's the potential for further improvement from her.
Okay, onto the QE2 then as well. This one by a horse that we won't be seeing next year. Roaring Lion took this one, winning as the 2-1 favourite. I Can Fly and Century Dream, who were back in second and third. We talked about what a great training performance it's been from John Gosden with Stradivarius a little bit earlier on, Sean. When I saw this horse well beaten at odds on in the Craven, albeit he was beat by the eventual Derby winner, at that stage, if someone had said this horse will end the season by winning four Group 1s, well, you certainly wouldn't have believed them. But has made remarkable strides throughout the course of the season, Roaring Lion, and great to see as well how much it meant to Sheikh Joanne.
Yes, indeed, and a very important win, I think you'd have to say, for Sheikh Farhad Al Thani.
Sheikh Farhad, sorry, yes.
And his family, because, of course, they've pitched in a lot of money into British racing, and in particular, this day, Kipco Champions Day. It was almost their brainchild, so to speak, and to see them rewarded with a Group 1 winner on this day was fantastic. And you could see, anybody who watched it on television saw Sheikh Farhad and his brothers in the royal box with yep. Her Majesty the Queen watching the race, and the excitement that they got from that win was there for all to see. And Sheikh Farhad is quoted in the paper this morning as saying, "This is my greatest day in racing," which, when you consider he won the Melbourne Cup with Dunedin in nearly his first 2 years in ownership, I think I'm right in saying, and as a very, very young man, that's quite a statement.
Indeed. And the final horse we're going to mention then from Saturday is another horse who's going to be retired to stud duties now, and that was Cracksman, winning a second consecutive Champion Stakes. Did it in really good style as well, pulling six lengths clear of Crystal Ocean back in second place. The last couple of runs that Cracksman's had coming into this race were just a little bit lacklustre. Obviously, he had to be workmanlike and all out to touch off Salouen in the Coronation Cup, was then beaten at Ascot by Poets World and the Prince of Wales Stakes. Back on his favoured soft ground on Saturday, he was electric, Sean, and that's the image I think we want to remember Cracksman by.
Absolutely. When the going gets soft, boy, does Cracksman revel in it. Mm. His two career best performances have come in this race consecutively.
Yep.
2 years consecutively, and each year the ground has been very testing, but let's not just sort of label him as a mud lark.
Yes.
Because I think we're being unfair to him to say that, because he beat Poet's Word by seven lengths last year, and he's beaten Crystal Ocean by six this year, Sam. So he's beaten really, really good horses. When his conditions are right, he's arguably as good a horse as there is in the world.
Yeah, definitely so. Those are the real big stories of the day, Sean, but an honourable mention for Connections of Subway Dancer as well, who finished third in the Champion Stakes, came over from the Czech Republic, and that is also a great story. You know, we've got all these great horses winning Group 1s, but a sporting move by Connections, and great to see them rewarded just shy of 140 grand they've picked up for third.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure they'll have had a great day with it. This horse is probably a genuine Group 3 performer.
Yeah.
He does a lot of his racing in France. And he's probably up to Group 3 level in France, so he's outrun himself, but Connections will be absolutely thrilled with that. And I think he was maybe ridden sensibly to try and pick up the pieces by his rider. Dropped him in, hunted away, and passed beaten horses inside the last couple of furlongs.
That was Champions Day then, wrapped up from Ascot. We're going to turn our attention now to matters coming up on Monday. I've got a couple of races at Pontefract to run through. And we begin with the 5 o'clock, going to the last two races on the card at Pontefract. And this 5 o'clock is a handicap over 2.25 miles. We've got a field of nine runners going down to post. Will be one of the longest races you'll find all year on the level, Sean.
Yeah, Pontefract have this this Stayers Championship, don't they? I think that the races are run from about 2 miles up to 2 miles, 5.5 furlongs.
Yeah.
So you get the same horses coming back, which is good. Racing fans can build up a little bit of an association with these types of horses, and they tend to race on quite late in life as well.
Yeah.
So you see them returning year on year for these contests. We've got a horse, Bodacious Name, who actually won round seven, the last round of the contest last time out a fortnight ago at Pontefract. He was getting off the mark for the season, having run well on a couple of occasions earlier this year. He's a horse who seems to like Pontefract. Soft ground is very important to him, or certainly easy ground, Sam. That is very important to Bodacious Name. And an extreme of distance is what he wants as well. He gets both again here. He's got so near so far to beat again this time. He beat the filly by a length and a half last time out. She's an improving filly, though, and should run a good race again. But Bodacious Name is really in the groove, and I would like to think he'll go close to winning this again.
Yeah, Bodacious Name then in that 5 o'clock race at Pontefract. Now we go on to the 5.30 race, which is a handicap right at the other end of the spectrum, over 5 furlongs. So we've got the sprinters in action here. What do you like in this race? We've got last year's winner turning back up, of course, in the shape of Van Gerwen.
Yes, indeed. Van Gerwen is a horse who was a winner 3 starts back at Beverley from Musharraf. Those two reoppose here. But I like the horse at the top of the weights. I'm quite keen on him, Arcavallo. He's a horse who has had 1 start at Pontefract in his career. That was 3 starts back, and he absolutely bolted up by 3 1/4 lengths, albeit over 6 furlongs. But he's got winning form over 5, and I think this stiff 5 on soft ground should suit him quite nicely. He's got a nice low draw in stall too, and I think he can give all of his rivals plenty to think about, and I think he is definitely the one to beat here in the lucky last.
Arcavallo then for Sean in that finale at Pontefract goes with Bodacious Name in the earlier race as well. Thank you very much, Sean. Pleasure as always, and best of luck with the runners on Monday.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.